Hello, everyone, and welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. My name is Brooks Davis, joined alongside by my co-host, Drew Bonds. Drew, how you doing?
I'm doing good. It's finally here. It sounds like we're you know, playing our first game, and I'm that excited. But I'm pretty much as excited for this matchup as I was for that Coastal game, and obviously we hope it goes a whole lot better. We expect it to go a whole lot better. But the big part of the season is – you know, 2 days from now, as this is recorded, in Lynchburg, 6 o'clock on Wednesday night. But beyond pins and needles, a little bit nervous, mostly excited. I'm doing well. Brooks, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Yeah, like you said, this is it's finally here. We've had this game marked on our calendar for a while now, since before the season started. You know, this was the one game we pointed to that we thought, you know, was really going to define our season, what we were going to be able to do on the road against Liberty, who, you know, as we know, last year was 12-0, went to conference, won the conference championship, and played Oregon in the Fiesta Bowl. And, you know, we expected them to, you know, especially with Caden Salter returning, we expected them to, you know, kind of pick up where they left off. And to a point, they did up until last week's massive upset. But there was just something, you know, as we kept watching them and kept reading these scores, 41-24 against Campbell, 30-24 against Mexico State, when New Mexico State led the entire game, 28-10 was a little bit better against UTEP, 35-24 against ECU, had a game in Boone against App State that was canceled. And then 31-24 against Florida International in Lynchburg. Just, you know, close game after close game after close game. We knew something was up. And then they finally got beat. you said it a couple weeks ago. They can't keep getting away with this. And then it finally happened. They got beat by a lesser football team and was not expecting it to be Kennesaw at all. But take it how you can get it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I fully expected, you know, Jack State to be the team that showed the world, at least showed the conference, that Liberty is not the team their record would indicate. But good on the Owls down there in Cobb County for getting it done, I guess. I guess the one drawback of that is that this Liberty team will probably have a little bit more of a fire lit underneath them for the Jack State game. And they probably would have either way, whether they beat Kennesaw or not, knowing that this is Liberty's biggest game of the year so far also. And you could even contribute a lot of what you saw against Kennesaw for Liberty. Maybe they're looking ahead to this game this week. So, you know, maybe they decided, you know, we want a week and a half to prepare for Jack State and, you know, 3 or 4 days to prepare for Kennesaw. And that certainly didn't work if that was the case. But we'll kind of see what the Liberty team's made of Wednesday night. But, you know, like we've said a couple of times already on different episodes, we expect this to be a team that Jack State is going to beat. Now, it's not going to be a New Mexico State shellacking or a Kennesaw State shellacking. At least I wouldn't expect it to be. But I do expect Jack State to win this game. And honestly, I expect them to win this game somewhat handily. I'm not saying by, like I said, 21 or 28 points, but I think a 10-14 point win is something you should probably expect, or yeah, expect, I guess. A couple of notes on Liberty here real quick. First of all, we're going through doing all our research and stuff, and their strength of schedule at 5-1 is dead last. It is 134th out of 134th. So of the six teams they've played, they've had the weakest schedule in all of Division I college football, so that is something to think about. And their strength of record is in the bottom 100 also. So if you take, you know, a team that is, you know, Kennesaw State is last in strength of record because they are 1-6, and they may not be last anymore, but they certainly were when they were 0-6. Liberty is in the bottom 100, and they've only lost one football game to show you how weak their schedule's been. Jack State is ahead of Liberty when it comes to strength of record, and you know they have got two more losses than Liberty does right now, just to kind of show you what the analytics think about Liberty's schedule. It's not just me and Brooks telling you that they haven't played anybody. They really haven't played anyone that's any good yet, and they have not played a complete football game. and they just threw a game away against Kennesaw that we saw last week. But they are a team, let's see, they're in the top 50 in both offensive points per game and defensive points a game. So they're scoring 31.5 and giving up 22.2. Again, we can take that with a grain of salt that they haven't played anyone of note, but they are in the top 50 in both offense and defense. That is something to take away. And they're also a top 10 rushing offense. Jack State is fifth in the country in rushing yards per game. Liberty is 10th. So you're going to see a lot of run the ball and throw it if we have to in this game. Obviously from Jacksonville State, that's kind of where the offense goes most of the time, is we're going to run it if we can. You saw it last week against Middle when they threw the ball, two times in the second half, I think. Liberty will throw it. I mean, they threw it 42 or 43 times against Kennesaw. So it's just the pass has not been what's moved the ball for them. It's been them running the football, whether that be with Caden Salters or Quincy Cooley, whoever it is on the ground for Liberty. They're running it for 221 yards a game. Jack State with running it for 256 yards per game. And, of course, they ran it for over 450 last week. But, Brooks, I'll let you give your thoughts real quick. But for me, it's pretty cut and dry on you should expect your Gamecocks to go down Lynchburg and get a victory.
Yeah. You know, I really don't. In terms of how we're going to approach this game, I really don't see, you know, any reason why we shouldn't, you know, kind of go at it, you know, the same way that we have been, you know, we have been all season, which has been a run, you know, like you said, it's a run first, throw if we have to kind of deal. And obviously we've seen, you know, we've seen Tyler Huff make some outstanding throws with his arm and being able to, you know, be mobile in the pocket. We get a little pressure of him, scramble and give us receivers time to get open. Cam Vaughn, Michael Petway, Rex Steiner, DeMarcus Lacy, guys like that. So, you know, I fully trust our passing game, but I think this is going to be, you know, like I said, very similar to what we've done in the last several weeks with, you know, putting the ball in the hands of our best ball carriers, and that's been Tyler Huff and Trey Stewart on the ground. You know, a little bit of Andrew Paul here and there maybe, but if Anwar Lewis still isn't good to go, which I haven't seen any updates on him, Rich Rod is very kind of weird about who he, which most coaches are, but kind of weird about what his injury updates. But this is not a, this is a Liberty team that, you know, their secondary doesn't make a ton of big stops. Not from a statistics standpoint. They've got, let's see, 4 interceptions on the year. Not terrible, but not great. And I think that's something too, that's kind of the tell of the tape for Liberty. They haven't been bad, you know, like I said, from a statistics standpoint. Caden Salter's got 1,200 yards on the year, 1,200 yards on the year passing, 10 touchdowns, and just 2 picks. So, I mean, not bad, but to give you an idea, Tyler Huff's got about 1,400 yards, and he's very much a, you know, every bit of a dual threat quarterback, but he's, you know, he's the third highest rushing quarterback in the country, behind, I can't remember the names, but Army and Navy's quarterback, and they run a triple option. So, with playing comparisons, you know, sometimes it's not, you know, it's kind of, we're not going to say not fair, but it's a little, based on different situations, you know, just based on different situations. But, and then Quentin Cooley's not a bad running back, 582 yards on the year, 6 touchdowns. He's been able to peel off a couple long ones here and there. But I don't see anything about this Liberty team that makes me think, all right, we're going to have to throw the ball You know, we're going to have to throw the ball about 40, 45 times this game. We're not going to be able to rely on a run game near as much. I really, this is a, you know, going back looking at scores, giving up the decent points against, not great football teams. 24 to New Mexico State, 24 to East Carolina, 24 to Florida International, 27 to Kennesaw. And I understand we gave up, what was it?
I think we gave up 24 to Kennesaw, 17 to Kennesaw, something like that.
Yeah, and one of the – well, the defense gave up 17. One of them was a kick
return. Yeah, one of them was kick return touchdown.
Yeah. So, and they have yet to – I mean, we've seen New Mexico State. We will see Florida International, but we've seen Kennesaw. These are not, high-powered explosive offenses, and they're giving up decent amount of points. I fully expect us to, go in, have our with our same approach, same game plan as, what we've done against really everybody this year, except for, maybe Coastal Carolina or Louisville. You get that, we approach them a little bit different, but
yeah.
Excuse me. Long day. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just, kind of looking at the numbers here. It's hard to find why Liberty is struggling. I mean, they brought back Caden Salters. Quentin Cooley's there having a pretty good year. He's probably their best player on offense, at least from a skill position standpoint. But, I mean, Tyson Mobley, who we saw make big plays last year at wide receiver, only has 202 yards on the season. He's caught 21 passes for 202 and a touchdown. It's just something's not clicking for Liberty. Now, their leading receiver is going to be Trayon Sibley, or Sibley, not sure how you say that, who has the same amount of catches as Mobley, 21, but he's got 397 yards. He's almost double the yards and the same amount of catches. So, whether it's a problem with, Tyson Mobley has clearly taken a step back from where he was last year. I don't know what Liberty lost up front on the offensive line. And maybe that's, got something to do with it. But, offensively and defensively, this team is not at all what we saw last year. And Jack State is in position to take advantage of it. And not to mention, they've struggled, through six games, and they have the worst strength of schedule in the country. Now you can come back at us and say, who has Jack State played? And, Jack State has not beaten anyone that's real good yet, but they have played Coastal Carolina and Louisville. So Jack State has seen good teams. And obviously this is a different team than what we saw those first 2 weeks. So you'd like to go back and try those two again for sure and see what happens. But, where Liberty has not seen a team that is even near the caliber of Jack State, at least Jack State has seen teams that would probably beat Liberty today, and that'd be Coastal Carolina and Louisville. So they have some idea of caliber of athlete they're gonna see in Lynchburg. But yeah, either way, something's not clicking for the Flames. I think it's a great thing. It's a great problem to have if you're Jack State. And they need to go to Lynchburg and beat Jamie Chadwell's bunch and continue on 4-0 in conference play. I know at the very beginning of the year, way back before any football was played, we picked all of Jack State's games, and I think Brooks, me, and you both gave Jack State a loss to Liberty. We can go back and, rectify that if we want to, but we'll leave it the way it is just because at the time that was our best guess at it. So, but right now, if you're to pick the score again, it's going in Jack State's favor. And I know that Liberty's favored by a couple of points, at least for right now. That line will probably move a little before game time, on Wednesday night. But Jack State, technically, right now, a road underdog against a team that I think they should handle. So we'll certainly,
Liberty's minus two in the point spread.
Yeah, so minus two. So
Liberty.
But either way, we'll leave that there as far as your Liberty preview. They're a team that's had issues, especially offensively and a little bit defensively also, coming off a just crushing loss against the worst team in football, maybe besides Kent State. So Interesting to see how they bounce back. And, you know, like we said earlier, maybe there's a fire underneath the Flames and they play a little bit better and it's a tougher game than what we expect it to be. We're not saying that Jack State's going to win, you know, hands down by any stretch. You know, it's still college football. You're still dealing with, you know, 18 to 25-year-olds, and sometimes they just don't wake up and play the way you want them to. But if Jack State plays their same brand of football they have been the last four games, I don't think they'll have any issue Wednesday night. We'll keep the season moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
A couple other things. Go ahead.
I was just going to say real quick, one last point. I think from a defensive standpoint, in terms of preparing for this game, I'm looking at Salter's stat line from the Kennesaw game, 22 of 40, 206 yards, three touchdowns. He had the one pick, but he also had another 87 yards on the ground. He was their leading rusher, even over Quint Cooley. Cooley was only the third rusher. So I think that's something that, knowing that Salter does like to run a good bit, and he's going to try and run a decent amount against us. I think we're going to be more than prepared, because our defense has to go out and practice against Tyler Huff every day, or, you know, Logan Smothers, who loves to run a little bit, and I'm sure Zion Turner does too. So the third, you know, everybody on that defense, I think, is more than prepared for a dual threat quarterback, and we've seen it a little bit too. We've defended it well. Mexico State's quarterback tried to run a little bit. Middle Tennessee didn't really, but Louisville and Coastal certainly did. Or they were very mobile quarterbacks, at least. So I think this, from that standpoint, I think this is really going to play in our favor in terms of defensive preparation. So it's just going to be a matter of what Salter does through the air and how well we defend it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that like I said, the defensive preparation from what they are able to see in practice, like you said, it's going to be a big help. But I'm nothing but excited for what we're going to see Wednesday night. Oh, yeah. Moving on, conference slate, a lot of, I don't know if you want to call them bummers or basement dweller games or whatever, but the only other real big conference game that could have some conference title implications is Sam Houston taking on Louisiana Tech, for the sole reason that, as of right now, as it's recorded, Hunter Watson is questionable to start for Sam Houston at quarterback. Their backup, Jace Ballard, played just not very good football against FIU last week. They won that game 10-7. So if Jace Bauer has to start again, I think that's you can kind of put the Bearcats on upset watch in Ruston. I know Louisiana Tech is not a great football team, but they went to overtime with FIU. So you know, if they're beating FIU 10-7, then it should be a lot of the same story against Louisiana Tech if Jace Bauer starts and plays the way he did against FIU. So that's just something to look forward to or look out for there. That's tomorrow night. That's a Tuesday night game. Sam Houston and Louisiana Tech on the docket there. Beyond that, Mexico State goes to FIU to Pit Bull Stadium. I get to say it once every other week, and it makes my whole week when I get to say that FIU is playing in Pit Bull Stadium against Mexico State. That's also a Tuesday night game. That game starts 1 hour before the Louisiana Tech and Sam Houston game. And then Wednesday night, Kennesaw goes to Bowling Green to play the Hilltoppers. Now Western's a 24-point favorite. That's probably a little bit light. You know, Jack State beat them 62 to whatever, so kind of expect kind of the same there against Western. And then last game of the week is actually a Saturday game, the first Saturday Conference USA game in at least a couple weeks. But Middle Tennessee State goes to UTEP, to El Paso, to play the Miners. Both of those are a battle of teams that have only one conference win, so someone will pick up an extra win there. UTEP favored by 3 as of right now. But like we've said, and we talked about on Twitter a little bit this week, the path to a, you know, conference championship game appearance is wide open for JSU. They go and beat Liberty Wednesday night. Their season comes down to those last 2 weeks of the regular season against Sam Houston and Western Kentucky. And if you split those, you're in. It's pretty simple for right now. Take [S2] Yep. [S1] Care of business against Liberty. take care of business against Louisiana Tech, take care of business at home against FIU, and then you host Sam Houston and go to Bowling Green the last 2 weeks. And if you can split those two, it doesn't matter how you split them. If you split those two, you're in. So it's pretty black and white for Jack State as far as everything they want to accomplish is in front of them. We said that even after the Eastern Michigan game where he had such a sour taste in our mouth. Everything this team wants to accomplish is still right in front of them. And it couldn't be more true than it is right now after a big four-game stretch. And if they can go beat Liberty on the road, it'll go a long way to proving to everybody else that this team is for real and can go play and win a conference title this year.
Yeah. You said before the show or before we started recording that it will be, you know, just super awesome if somebody could help, especially if Hunter Watson for Sam Houston's not going to play. If somebody could, you know, do us a favor and go ahead and knock them out one more time, knock them out one more time just to kind of make our path a little bit easier, you know, to make it, you know, even if we do, you know, even if we were to drop that game, assuming we can get past Liberty this week, if we were to drop that game against Sam Houston or Western, really, then it would make our path to the conference championship game a lot more clear cut. You know, Mike could even clinch a spot early if we beat. Well, no, we still have to split. Never mind. Anyways, but you can tell it really showed when they played. They played against Florida International last week. That this is not the Sam Houston without Hunter Watson is a completely different team. And I honestly don't think Florida International is as bad as what their record shows. Yeah, they're 2-6, but I mean, like I said, Keon Jenkins is a phenomenal quarterback, and they got another receiver, Eric Rivers, who's had a really good year, 581 yards and 5 touchdowns on the year. And you know, they've played some really close games. Lost by 9 against UTEP, 3 against Sam Houston, a touchdown against Liberty, only 3 to Monmouth. So, you know, they've played some real – I think they could be very similar to what we thought about Sam Houston last year, that their record doesn't necessarily show where they are as a team. So that might be it's a good thing we do play them in Jacksonville. That could be a potential trap game. And not in although it would be cool to say we got to play in Pitbull Stadium. I guess we'll have to wait till next year for that. But yeah, if Louisiana Tech could go ahead and hand one more conference loss to Sam Houston, now it is in Huntsville, so it's going to be a little bit tougher. But if they could go ahead and do that, that'd be doing us a solid. If we can take care of business against Liberty this week. But other than that, I wish I could say Kennesaw had a little bit more magic left in the bag. To pull off an upset on the road against Western Kentucky, but I don't think it's just that was cool. It was really cool and great and wonderful to see Kennesaw pull off to beat Liberty the way they did last week. And but I think that's that's where that line was drawn in terms of probably the rest of the season. They might could pull off one more if they really put things together against. Probably UTEP, I would say, which will be next week. That's their next best bet for a win on the season. But like you said, everything is still in front of us. And this is a big week for us. This is a big week for us in terms of, putting ourselves in position to make a conference championship game. You know, we've said it all year, or we've said it since the Eastern Michigan game. You know, all right, we know what we have to do now. We gotta start off. We gotta win the ones that we know we are more than capable of winning. And peel off 4 straight to go into Lynchburg with a shot at keeping all our dreams alive. And I'll be danged if we didn't do it in dominating fashion too. you know, this team today compared to who they were, definitely against Coastal, but even against Eastern Michigan, where we looked better, but we still just weren't quite putting everything together. It's just night and day. Now the competition obviously has not been top tier, and part of that is just playing in what a lot of people consider the worst conference in college football. But nonetheless, we've gotten to the point where we're coming in, we're taking care of business, and we're undefeated in the conference play. We showed up when we needed to. We've been able to do it with as few injuries as possible, and really making a charge at our first ever FBS conference title game appearance and or championship. So it's I'm really excited for this one, but it starts tomorrow, or starts on Wednesday. We gotta take care of business.
Yeah, and I will say we are kind of ignoring the, there is a world that this conference sends in a three-way tie. If Jack State, runs the table and loses to Sam Houston, and Sam Houston runs the table and obviously beats Jack State, then you're going to have, Western has a loss to JSU, JSU has a loss to Sam Houston, Sam Houston has a loss to Western. So you're going to have three teams with a three-way tie. I've got the old trusty Conference USA tiebreakers. There's 12 of these pulled up. You just go in order. But what it's going to come down to, since obviously none of these teams will be ranked in the college football playoff, which is their first or second tiebreaker, I should say, they'll take the highest average ranking based on four selected computer rankings, and they are the Conley SP Plus, Sports Source, ESPN Strength of Record, and KPI rankings. That's a little bit beyond, Strength of Record is a very simple, understandable thing, but those other three, we're not going to try to explain to you. But if that does turn out to be the case, I worry a little bit about Jack State being the odd team out, because Sam Houston's going to have a win against Texas State, which is a good win for their strength of record. And Western, has played and nearly beat Boston College. They beat Toledo. Both of those are, or at least the Toledo win is definitely a better win than Jack State has. Texas State is a better win than Jack State has. So, like we said, JSU can split those last two games and get in, but they really need to take care of business against the Bearcats at home on the penultimate week of the season, and that'll really just lock them in, because then Sam Houston will have two conference losses, and Jackson will be in no matter what the turnout in Bowling Green is. But just for everybody's essay on tiebreakers there, because there is a world where we have a three-way tie. There's four computer rankings that they'll use to select, and without knowing much about the other three, I don't think that Jack State will be favored in strength of record of the three teams. So just something to keep in mind there as the season goes on.
Yeah. Hopefully it doesn't come down to that, having to do math equations to determine who gets to play for the conference championship. But I don't know that we will. I think this game on Wednesday is really gonna tell a lot about where we are as a football team. If we come in and just run up and down the field on Liberty, I'm gonna feel a lot more confident about that same Houston game, with or without Hunter Watson. Now, if we come in and play, even if it does end up being about a one score game, which I got a feeling it could be a one score, maybe a 10 point game, maybe come down to an onside kick, something like that, in our favor, obviously. But if we do come out and we just haven't played a whole lot of competition this year, or the ones that we've gotten beaten by, and it shows on Wednesday, where we show up maybe a little sluggish, or I hate to say it, but maybe a little unprepared, maybe, because this, other than Tyler Shough, this is by far the best quarterback that talent wise that we will have faced all season. So, you know, I think, like I said, I think this is how we come out and how it shows that we prepared for this game. I think it's going to tell a lot about this football team and where we can go post Liberty. I really felt, I think this game is more, I don't want to be down on us, but I really do. I think this game is a little bit more about Liberty just not being near as good as they were last year, more so than it is, you know, no discredit to us. I just went on a whole rant about it earlier. We've made leaps and bounds of progress, but I really think this is not the Liberty team that we saw last year. Obviously, it's not. They wouldn't have lost to Kennesaw. If we can come in and take care of business and move on to the next one, I think, you know, it's all going to come down to the Western game.
I do too. I think if you know, like we said, the three-way tie is an option, but it would take Jack State losing to Sam Houston at home and then beating West on the road. I don't think that's very likely. You know, I think if you lose to Sam Houston at home, you're going to have a hard time beating West on the road. So, and a three-way tie is something to kind of talk about and keep track of as the season goes. And obviously, a Sam Houston loss to, you know, Louisiana Tech would help out tremendously. But it's all in Jack State's control. They're 3-0 in conference. If they win out, you can't keep them out no matter what. I mean, it's pretty simple for what they get to do. And like you said, this is the measuring stick game of the year for Jack State. Those first three games were against decent competition, especially Coastal and Louisville. And then, you know, Eastern Michigan, we thought was a team we'd handle easily and just kind of threw that one away at the end, which is whatever now. But, this is the first good team or the first not bad team they've played since learning how to play football again. They were not very good at tackle football for the first month of the year. They are really good at tackle football now. And they have not played a team of this caliber, since those first 3 weeks when they were not playing up to their standards. So, for me, certainly if you don't win, it's a failure. But, I think you really want to see them. You really want to see them win by 14 or 21 points. I think, you know, if you blindfold yourself from Liberty's record of 5-1 and you read out their scores at the end of third quarters in games, you're thinking this Liberty team is, 2-5 or 3-3 or whatever it's going to be. And they've certainly played good in fourth quarters this year to get to where they are. But against Jack State, they cannot sleepwalk through three quarters and expect to win because it's going to be 40-0 by then. But that'll be the pregame show there, I guess, is we expect Jack State to go out and win. It's just this Liberty team has been, really good last year, and Jack State hasn't played good against decent competition yet this year. So there's still a little bit of an uneasy feeling as far as what they look like against a better caliber opponent. But if everything goes according to plan and the way we think it's going to handle, I don't think it'll be an issue.
Yeah, I think we win, and I think even before the Kennesaw game, or before Kennesaw and Liberty, that I thought we were going to win this game. You know, regardless of that outcome, just because, like I said before, this isn't the same Liberty team. But I think it's all going to come down to it's all going to come down to how we win. If we come out and run up and down the field on them, I feel more than confident that we're going to find ourselves in a Conference USA championship game at the end of the year. If we come out and kind of, sleepwalk through it, we'll get beat 40-0 or however much, this kid, Caden Salter is a talented quarterback. They've got, this program that they've been building up since they moved up to Division I and even a little bit in the FCS days, they're good for a reason. don't take it for granted. This, even though this isn't the same Liberty team as it was last year, but you can just as easily get beat. So I think it's all going to, I think we'll find out pretty early how we approach this game. And we're going to find out a lot about this, this Gamecock team on Wednesday.
Yep. Absolutely. I agree. I do too. I like us to win. I like us to win maybe a little more than you do. But that's neither here nor there. All right. Beyond that, I don't think we have much else for you. It's, let's see, 8:45 on Monday night. So a little less than 2 days before kickoff. There at 6 o'clock in Lynchburg. The game's on CBS Sports Network. I'm not sure we said that yet, but that is where to find the action on Wednesday night. And obviously, we'll be very, very active on Twitter, like we normally are, especially during the weekend, during games, and obviously throughout the week. So come find us over there if you haven't already. But beyond that, thanks for listening. If you made it this far, and go Gamecocks, and we'll see you guys on Thursday with hopefully some really, really good news and good things to talk about.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. It's the biggest game of the year up to this point, and looking forward to hopefully talking about a Gamecock win probably Thursday night. So we'll see you all then.